Now, as well as having modern relevance for our understanding of disease, metalloproteins also offer us a window onto some of the earliest forms of life. Billions of years ago, when the Earth was no more than a sea of chemicals splashing over rocks, the precursors for organic molecules had to get a foothold. One way they might have done this is by commandeering bits of metals from the minerals and using them to catalyse chemical reactions involving gases from the air. This area of research is Juan Fontecilla's speciality. He's at the Institute of Structural Biology in Grenoble in France, part of the Université Joseph Fourier.
There are actually two major theories about how life appeared on this planet. One is called the autotrophic, and the other one is the heterotrophic theory for the origin of life. In one case, the very simple first metabolisms generated their own molecules. And on the heterotrophic or the primordial soup theory, then organic matter accumulated, and then eventually they became, well, metabolic pathways and organisms. The one that we favor is the autotrophic one, because the idea is that metabolisms developed on a mineral surface. Because what we see in our enzymes, in the active sites of our enzymes, is reminiscent of minerals, we tend to favor that approach. But there is also a complication with that, and that the enzymes, the proteins that have those active sites in contemporary organisms, are actually very complicated.
And so take us through kind of the ingredient list then. What's around at this kind of time? How long ago is this, by the way?
The Earth is about 4 billion years old. So it very soon afterwards, apparently, you know, like maybe 3 billion years ago, there may have already been organisms living then. Now, one of the things that happened at that time is that, of course, there was no oxygen in the air. At the beginning, the atmosphere had quite a bit of CO2, some hydrogen. This is what we're interested in, because some of the enzymes we're studying are able to bind hydrogen, oxidize it, and then provide the organisms with electrons or reducing power that are very important for the cell to function. Carbon monoxide was probably also quite abundant. Nitrogen, that it was eventually used by organisms to reduce it, you know, reduce gaseous nitrogen to ammonia, and then ammonia is something that we can use to build our own molecules. In the autotrophic theory of life, of course, the original food is not there are no sugars or lipids or anything that we can eat today, but it's actually gases like hydrogen and CO. They are being food because they are being oxidized.
You're interested in, then, studying modern-day equivalents of these.
Exactly, and we find them. They still exist in very restricted places, as a matter of fact, because with oxygen around, these organisms cannot survive. But they live at the bottom of the oceans, in our guts, or the bottom of lakes. Places where there's very little oxygen, you'll find these organisms still thriving, yeah.
And so you study them in order to see how the first ever organisms managed to process these gases to get kind of energy out of them.
That's one of the aspects. I mean, the other aspect, of course, is if you go into a hydrogen economy, you want to learn how nature figures out hydrogen, because we may learn from nature and try to apply similar principles. If you think of a fuel cell, normally you'll need platinum. It's a very expensive and rare metal. Whereas the living organisms use iron or nickel, which is very cheap. So we can learn from them too.
What does your lab look like? How do you go about testing this stuff?
Yeah. The problem we have, of course, is oxygen. That's our main enemy. Because all these bacteria or archaea are very fascinating, because the chemistry is fascinating. We are interested in the chemistry going on in these metal centers. This system, they had to bind a gas, which is already not a trivial thing to do. Then the gas has to be oxidized, so you need to get, if you get electrons from the gas, you have to manage to get those electrons from the active site that is normally buried inside the protein to whatever partner is going to take it and, you know, move it to another place in the cell, so those electrons can be used to make organic molecules and to allow the organisms to continue, keep on living.
So they've got their work cut out, these little things.
It's fascinating. One of the most fascinating enzymes that we have worked on, it takes CO2, which is, you know, carbon dioxide, and it's able to take two molecules of carbon dioxide. Well, it takes one, let's say, and it's going to reduce it all the way to CO. And then another system takes another CO2 molecule, makes a methyl group, now CH3. And this enzyme is capable of binding CO and CH3 and making acetyl which is actually one of the building blocks of the cell.
Juan Fontecilia there. That's all from this special podcast on metalloproteins. There's a whole collection of review articles on the subject in Nature this week, so check those out online at nature.com/nature/supplements and click on Latest Insights. I'm Kerry Smith. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast sponsored by AstraZeneca, whose goal is to make the most meaningful difference to patients' health through great medicines. For more information, please visit AstraZeneca.com.